Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Living according to the plan of God. We have covered in our appendices the background of Ephesus, the universal church, the local church, the work of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, parts 1, 2, and 3, and tonight, living according to the plan of God. This little book, 6 chapters, is powerful. It introduces a whole dispensation and many of the grand truths about this. And here we are today. And whether people realize it or not, this dispensation of the church is for them. A lot of people are in oblivion. They've never even heard of a dispensation. And yet it is God's plan that they get saved and then be an active part of the church. This is the grand reality. And I guess really when I talk about this tonight, I want us to truly grasp God intended this. This is not somebody's idea. This is God's plan for today. He took the law and he put it aside. And he has said, now we're going to do things this way. And he wants us to live according to his plan. We have to let this soak in. God literally is doing this. We have considered the work of the Spirit and the believer's relationship with God, saved by grace through faith by the work of redemption done by Jesus, and we serve and mature in spirituality by grace also. And we accomplish this service, this growth, this relationship by yielding to the indwelling Spirit of God and by exercising spiritual gifts as we serve in the local church. This is reality. This church was not my idea. This is God's idea. And the truth is, he called all of us here for a time. This is his idea. This is not a coincidence. We happen to live in Cape Coral. God planted us here for a time. Let us be aware and ever in our thoughts, this is God's plan. Whatever befalls you day by day is not a mistake. God is in control. God is ordaining things. Too many people are in oblivion. This ought not to be because God has given us his word. Maybe people don't know, but too bad that many people don't care. They don't want to hear it. You try to talk to them about the Lord, they turn you off. Now, whether they realize it or not, what they're doing is they are establishing their own set of rules and standards and beliefs and doctrines based on wherever they got it from. They may not vocalize that, but the truth is the whole idea that they live the way they do because they believe that this is the right way to live. Do you ever stop and think about that? Even if they never gave it a thought, they just think they can do what they want. But that's really what they're doing. We have to remember that God put aside the law. Exodus 19:5. Remember the call that God had for the Jew. Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, God talking to the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. He's talking to the children of Israel through Moses. Now, therefore, they were just brought out of Egypt. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God had a plan, and this is what he intended. He was going to work through the Jews. Here we see he is calling them chosen to be the special people, to adhere to the law, to be a light in darkness. Please note the call to the church. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye, church people who are Christians in the church age, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Gee, does that sound familiar? The same call, in essence, that came to the Jew came to the church. We don't have all of the laws that they have. We have new guidelines that Paul has set forth in our recent study in Ephesians. But the essence of God has not changed. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar, we usually put in a negative term, like, you know, you're an oddball. No, we're supposed to be peculiar in the sense that the world's going to look at us, we're very different. If you imitate and look like the world and they can't tell a difference, I would be concerned. You should step back and say, you know what? I'm supposed to be a peculiar person. I don't blend in with that group anymore. That you might show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. That's how we know it's not made over Israel, because Israel has always been a people. It's not made over. It's new. But are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So it is, Israel and the church were both to be holy. And Israel failed, and guess what? The church is failing, if you will. Not all churches, but at large, the church age is failing to be lights and darkness and to be a holy people that God had intended and desired for them to be. Therefore, I want to continue on this whole concept of living according to the plan of God. In the little book that we have, it is amazing that it covers the answers for all types of people and through all time. It has the answers, and it hasn't had to change. But I want you to get this. God cannot sit there and say, now don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do, and don't do that, and don't. When you take a true-false test, how many correct answers are there? One. How many false answers are there? Unlimited. God can't list all the wrong things. Don't do this. But He can say, do this. You get it? So many times people say, well, show me a verse in the Bible that says I can't do that. Well, I can't per se. I can show you principles, but I can show you what you ought to do. You get it? So be very careful. Well, since the Bible doesn't forbid, it means it's okay. It doesn't say you shouldn't shoot somebody with a gun because they didn't have guns. So it must be okay, right? You see the point I'm making. God has told us what to do. So let's adhere to what God told us to do. And by the way, instead of putting the word of God on trial, put your desire on trial. Don't ask what's wrong with it, according to the Bible. Ask what's right with it. So it is, God has used Paul to write many great truths conceptually of what we should do. Remember, God's desire, first of all, people get saved, and then they serve, they grow spiritually in the local church. I want you to get this, the importance of the church. The whole idea of this book that we're studying is telling us conduct in the church. There's a whole lot of choices in this world of what you can do with your time. God is telling us, first and foremost, in spirituality, what is His number one do this? The church. The church. I understand that there is a need for businesses and other organizations to be in place so that society operates and functions. But nothing is to take the place of the church. Nothing is to take a higher place than the church. I understand that there's the family, and you must tend to your family, but bring your family to church. And therefore, you grow together in Christianity, the church. I understand there are times you can't make it to church. Welcome to life. But overall, the church ought to be the most important thing in your life because it is our relationship with God. And even when Paul wrote about the church, he talked about the family and your job. But they're all under the umbrella of the church and spirituality. So when you look at where should I make my decisions, always lean towards spirituality. Folks, everything else is going to pass away. The world holds forth moral living. And I'm glad that my neighbors are moral people, to some degree, at least in public. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but the church is not just a bunch of moral people. We are spiritual children of God by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, there is a vast difference between morality and spirituality. God never told the church to promote morality, but rather spirituality, which is a higher set of virtues. And by the way, who defines morality? There are a lot of immoral people that think they're just fine. So who defines morality? The world sets forth fellowship and unity. And I'm sure that there are people out there that are good friends. But the truth is, there is no true fellowship and no true unity apart from God and His church. People that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is the true fellowship. It is the only brotherhood that God has ordained. We're not all one brotherhood because we're human beings. Yes, we are special because we're human beings, but the true brotherhood is in the church and in Christianity. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, Jesus, as their Savior, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Do you want to become a brotherhood and a sisterhood? Trust Christ as your Savior. That is the fellowship and the brotherhood of the Bible. When you trust Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters. This was God's plan. And those brothers and sisters in Christ are to dwell in unity, which Paul has talked about at length and we have covered. Thus, the church is the only true brotherhood. Anything else is only an imitation and must not take precedence over the unity and the brotherhood found in Christianity. I want you to think about the nations of this world as we think about the church. And we're going to talk more about this in a couple studies from now. But we watch the news and hear of international issues and local issues. War, trade, civil unrest, injustices, financial problems. But did you know that the nations of this world come and go as history has revealed? Consider powers that have fallen. Egypt, once the power on this earth. How about Assyria? Where are they today? Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, the Incas, the Aztecs. Where are they? Nations will fall. Folks, I'm not going to predict be a prophet on this one. But every nation will fall, including ours, someday, with the exception Israel will never fail. As we think about the grand reality of God's plan, there is one kingdom, His kingdom through Israel, and He even gave them a promised land. Nations will rise and fall, but Israel has endured the hardest of times. They have been taken into exile, and yet they still exist. They have been scattered throughout the nations for hundreds of years. They kept their identity, and they are back in the land as of 1948. No other nation has done that. Do you want to know why? Because God has ordained that they would be the kingdom of this world and of eternity. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God speaking to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee all families of the earth be blessed. That is the only lasting kingdom that God ordained. Now I understand that we can read about prophecy in the nations of the world, in the tribulation, etc. But that was God's plan, as the church for now is God's plan. Israel has a kingdom. They were promised a throne. It went from David. That's why you read the genealogies, and Jesus Christ is the son of David, and it has passed down. Do you want to know why the Bible talks so much about the Jew? That's the only kingdom that's going to last. You're studying the real story. Why study Persia? They're gone. If you want to be a history buff, read about them. You want to know the truth? Read about Israel. You see, the church is a heavenly people. We don't have earthly promises. We've got a heavenly promise. Spiritual blessings. That is the true lasting kingdom. But the Jew were chosen for a dispensation. So really, the Jews, if I can differentiate, but yet you can't, they were chosen to be the light from Abraham. It was going to come down through his descendants, the throne, the kingdom. But they also had a special calling in the law. Well, now, they still have that chosen people for the kingdom, but for a time they're set aside and the church is chosen, a spiritual people. So there is kind of a dual aspect to the choosing of Israel. And as you read Revelation, that kingdom with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, it says, I couldn't give you this, you can write this down, Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And it started in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, at least as far as man is concerned. As far as God is concerned, it's happened from eternity past. Now, this is not to imply that we should all go try to live in Israel, because we're in the church age and God has called us to be local churches around the world. And that's where we are to serve. Israel, a theocracy led of God, were blessed as special people. But I want you to think that they did not have what we have. They had a priesthood, and that priesthood had the rights and the privileges to do certain things that the common people couldn't. A case in point, the high priest was the only one that was allowed once a year to go in and do the sacrifices behind the veil, because that mercy seat was set apart. And only the high priest once a year could go in there. Our high priest has now died on the cross of Calvary, gave up the ghost, he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. No longer is there a separation. They had access to God, but they had to wait at the bottom of Sinai while Moses got the law. They had to wait while the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies. Today, we're the priest. Will we please grasp that? How do you think the priests of old should have lived? Pretty holy. What do you think God wants us to live like? You're a priest. You have direct access to God. This is a privilege that they did not know. And that veil rent, torn from top to bottom because God ripped it. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God is literally dwelling within you. When Moses was up on the mount, they heard the thunders and the lightnings. Hey, we got it inside. And wherever you go, you can't get away from God. You're the temple and you're the priest. We're royal priests. Take a look at 1 Peter 2:9 again. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. With all of the believers around the world and throughout time in the church age, we're a nation. This is God's plan. And this is the grand plan. This is it. There's nothing greater. And we are part of it. That ought to be exciting. He can't sit there and list all the wrong things. There are a lot of societies out there that claim brotherhoods and they have their secret rites and rituals and their brotherhood. Folks, that's an imitation. I'm sure there are probably a lot of nice guys in there, men and women. But it's not the brotherhood. The grand is the truth. We are the holy royal nation. Today, we are the sons of God. We are the true brotherhood. We don't have secret rites. These secret organizations are only an imitation of the reality of Christianity. That's a brotherhood. That's the real brotherhood, the real nation. Let's not let anything take its place or even challenge it. Why would we want anything less? God is in this. Is the church failing as Israel did? Yes, unfortunately, you can read that many places in the Bible, a great falling away in the last days. Let us talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit. We have already considered this. I want you to realize the importance. Yield, therefore, to the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, Jesus Christ gives the story. If your son asks you, for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? Therefore, Jesus Christ makes a point in Luke 11:13. Look at it. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, by comparison, evil, if we can do good unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? You want to talk a good gift. That's the point. Do you realize what a gift we have in the Holy Spirit indwelling us? Let us rejoice that God is with us wherever we go. Proper behavior? The Jews had the law. The church has also do's and don'ts. Ready? Ephesians 4:17. You want your do's and don'ts? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Get your thinking straightened out. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, has given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all cleanness with greediness. You've not learned so in Christ. Don't do that. If so be you've heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, let's get specific. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members of one another. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So therefore the Jews had the law. We've got also a listing for proper behavior. Certainly different from what the Jews had. But we also have do's and don'ts. When do you start? Now. Well, I'm going to really work on these. Well, start now. Are there some things you need to stop? Stop it now. I remember the first time I heard that rock music was not for Christians. That was a tough one. And I went home, and I took my stack of records. I was in an apartment in Chicago, and I went down to the dumpster, and I heaved them in. That was hard. But if I was serious for God, I was going to be serious for God. I did it. Do it. You'll be glad you did. What are you waiting for? Quote, for ye were, Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light of the world. Walk as children of light. When you realize that something is right, do it. When you realize something is wrong, stop it. He leads us out of darkness. He takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. His one aim is to glorify the Savior and to make him the Alpha and the Omega of our faith as we walk in the light. God makes no mistakes. We serve where he has placed us, as unto the Lord. Take a look how we should be in Ephesians 6:5. Servants, how should you be to your master? Look at the end of the verse 5. As unto Christ. Because God allowed that boss to be over you. Servants, not with eye service. Rather, verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. This is not a game. God is in control. He is completely in control. He is absolutely in control. The common drudgery of daily life can be called divine calling. Let me read that again. The common drudgery of daily life can be called divine calling. We often speak of a young man as being called to the ministry, but it is as fitting to speak of a carpenter being called to the bench, the blacksmith to the forge, the shoemaker to his bench. They're all callings. If that's where God wants you, that's your calling. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called abide with God. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Your life has been appointed by God. It's not an accident. God does not owe you an apology. Take up your work then, you who seem to be nobodies, the drudges, the maid, M-A-I-D, the maid of all work, the clerk or the shop assistant. Do it with a brave heart, looking up to Jesus, who for many years toiled at a carpenter's bench. Amid the many scenes and actions of life, set the Lord always before your face. Do all as in his presence and to win his smile. And be sure to cultivate a spirit of love to God and man. Look for opportunities of cheering your fellow workers. Don't murmur or grumble. Let your heart rise from the toil to God, your maker, savior, and friend. So the lowliest service will glisten as glass blades do when the sun drops are garnished on them. It's all about God. It's all about God. And as we get older and older, do we not start to count our days? What's it all about? And some people have to look back and say, I never even thought about God. Some people can say, praise God, I've dedicated my life. And others are thankful for the years they had. We all will turn to dust one day. Therefore, keep reality in mind. This is the grand plan for today. The Jews have a kingdom. We have a heavenly kingdom. This kingdom is not going to fail or fade away because it's of God. There is no excuse for improper living. We have the local church, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's the head. Therefore, all that you hope for, all that you want, is in the church. It is the most important thing. Let God direct you. You give yourself to him, and you will not be sorry. I look back to things that I have given up and stopped. And I look back and say, I haven't given up anything. This life is much better. I am much happier than I ever was. I have found the true fellowship, the true brotherhood, the true kingdom. And I have purpose in life. And we all can. Do it God's way.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.